Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Expose That Podcast. The Expose That Podcast discusses issues related to today's veteran. To call into the show, dial 515-605-9764. Now, here's your host, John and Gerald.
Welcome, folks, to another edition of the Expose That Podcast. Today is Thursday, the 11th day of August, 2022. Another week has gone by, and the month is flying. We got our co-pilot today flying at 747, Mr. Gerald Cook. How you doing, Gerald?
Doing fine, John. I'm glad to see it finally warm up.
Yeah, it's getting there. You've only been 110, right?
Well, today it hasn't been too bad. I'm showing 90 now. So, it's cooled off.
You got outside, you freeze to death. Anyway, we haven't tied this up earlier in the week. We're bringing Mr. John Dorley on. John is an accredited VA appeals agent. He's been doing this for a long time. And we're going to discuss the PACT Act. And he just got signed the other day. And how you doing, John?
I'm good, guys. And I'm good. We're talking about the weather, and we'll take all the warm weather we can get up in the Arctic North up here in Minnesota. So, we'll take any time we can get good weather like that. So, but no, I think that it's a perfect topic for the theme of the show, the exposed veteran and the PACT Act and the twists and turns about it. I think we've all been following it pretty closely, and so finally it looks like it's written into law. POTUS Biden had signed off on it, as I understand it, yesterday or this morning, so we're ready to rock and roll and file claims and kind of dive into it. So I don't know, guys, what are your thoughts of the PACT Act? I think it's a good thing overall.
It's been needed, yes, especially for the burn pit and veterans. And I don't know, from what I've read, had some presumptives they were putting with it, so that should help a veteran not have to fight so hard if he has one of the presumptives. I don't know what they are. I don't know if you read the presumptives or not.
I did. There's quite a few. I think what might be important is to understand how they came up with the acronym PACT, P-A-C-T. So it stands for Promise to Add Comprehensive Toxics. And so essentially what that is just an umbrella term for toxic exposure to our sailors, soldiers, airmen, and Marines who experience the exposure to different type of toxins. And so what we're really talking about, and reviewing the PACT Act, I mean, there's a lot of details about it, but I think in the simplest forms, what's happened is the government has finally determined and differentiated different areas of the world, different toxic exposure to different carcinogens all over the world, time frames not only for burn pits, but Agent Orange and radiation exposure during the Vietnam time period. So really, I think from what I can tell, we're looking at Persian Gulf era, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, OIF, OEF time periods, and if you served during those time periods and you were exposed to burn pits and in the designated areas, then you may be entitled to compensation for certain presumptive disabilities, and that certainly applies to the Vietnam era time periods too. Looking at some of the details of that part of it, it looks like there's specific locations where Agent Orange was used, that they're including certain time periods, things of that sort. What's interesting though, with and I think it's going to be a very, very big one, which I'm sure you guys are aware, which is of extreme importance to in-country Vietnam veterans, especially ones that, even if they weren't in-country, if they were exposed to Agent Orange, Thailand and Vietnam and different aircraft exposure to that aspect. What I'm getting at is the presumptive disability of hypertension, high blood pressure. So that is formally on the list of presumptive disabilities to exposure to Agent Orange. Now, one might be saying, well, you know, hypertension, high blood pressure, at best, it's going to rate 10%. Assuming it's control of medication, then it's probably going to be a 10% or a 0%, depending upon where the diastolic and systolic levels were prior to medication. And in some cases where even medication doesn't control it, hypertension, high blood pressure can rate a lot higher. So some might be asking, well, what's the big deal? You know, you're getting maybe a 10% out of that. Well, the offshoot of hypertension, stroke, heart disease, all kinds of other different things. I mean, diabetes, a lot of things center around hypertension that can cause or aggravate different types of disabilities. And that would not only be the same scenario for our living veterans, but for those veterans who have passed on, who have left the spouse. For example, let's say you have a veteran who served in Vietnam and was never service-connected for anything, but he or she did have hypertension at the time of death, and they served in Vietnam, but they died because of maybe coronary artery disease or maybe that wouldn't be a good example because that's automatically presumptive to Agent Orange anyway. But let's say they died of a stroke. I think that would be a good one. Because stroke is not – yeah, or well, heart attack is presumptive. I mean, yeah, heart disease, I think.
If it's ischemic,
Yeah, ischemic heart disease. Or even CAD, coronary artery disease, I've had success in kind of tying that into ischemic heart disease. But I think a good example would be stroke, simply based on the fact that a stroke or an infarction like that is not currently on that presumptive list. But if you put hypertension or high blood pressure on it and the death certificate shows a causal or a primary cause of stroke or contributory cause of stroke, you see where I'm going here. I mean, we're tying hypertension as potentially a trigger for that stroke. Next thing you know, this widow is going to be getting a benefit of about $1,450 a month for the rest of her life and health care. Go ahead.
I think the AAA would also be included in that, John.
AAA?
Aneurysms, aortic aneurysms.
Yeah. You know, I think all of it is certainly something that could be looked at. Anything that you look at hypertension, high blood pressure, it certainly is a trigger for so many things that may not be on the presumptive list for Agent Orange exposure. So, you know, we as advocates can get really creative with the advent of a presumption a disability for hypertension, high blood pressure, if it can be shown that you were exposed to Agent Orange. Now, of course, we all know that if you served in Vietnam or just off the coast of Vietnam as a Blue Water veteran, it's automatic. I mean, there's no doubt the VA is going to say that you were exposed to Agent Orange, but then you start opening it up to different job duties in Thailand or job duties stateside or different aircraft and things of that sort. But if you dig into this PACT Act, it does give some more liberalization to areas of exposure to Agent Orange. So that I think that's a good thing. On that same note, we're looking at that same Vietnam era time period for radiogenic exposure, you know, different areas, different things that they were exposed to at that point in time, different diseases that if you have, you can receive a compensation for a presumption disability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know they're making a whole lot of new registries.
Yeah. Well, and even for myself as an advocate doing it as long as I have, it is complicated. I mean, you have to, it's more than just a glossed up type of benefit. I mean, there's a lot of detail to it. You have to make sure that when you're filing these claims, the round peg is fitting in the round hole. I found it real interesting getting compensated for disabilities related to the burn pits. That's actually been around for quite a while. The reason I point this out is because prior to the PACT Act and prior to the August of 2021, presumption of respiratory illnesses like asthma, sinusitis, rhinitis, even before that presumption period, you could still get compensated for respiratory illnesses if it was shown you're exposed to burn pits in Afghanistan, Iraq, Middle East, those types of things. But you had to get a compensation examiner to say that this disability was likely related to burn pit exposure wherever that service member was stationed at. So it was certainly possible to get rated for those three types of disabilities prior to the PACT Act and prior to the August of the year 2021 presumptive period. But it was a bit harder. Now, not to get too detailed, guys, but if you go back to that August 2021 time period, prior to the PACT Act, obviously, the VA came back and said, well, okay, now we're going to make sinusitis, rhinitis, and asthma presumptive to burn pit exposure. All you needed to show is that you were exposed to burn pits, but there was one caveat. There's a 10-year presumptive window, and by that I mean you had to show, and the VA plays it like you had to have shown a diagnosis within 10 years from discharge from active duty. My feeling on it, and I've appealed a few of these, is that because I've got veterans who had symptomology within those 10 years but did not have a confirmed diagnosis. In my opinion, all you had to do is show symptomology within those 10 years, and I'm winning those appeals. So just, you know, clarification with the VA, they're trying to say that there has to have been a diagnosis of rhinitis or sinusitis or asthma within 10 years from discharge of active duty. Really what you need to show is symptomology within those 10 years. Now, again, not to make it too complicated, that was the law back in August of 2021. Now we fast forward to the PACT Act. There doesn't seem to be any presumptive window, that 10-year window. If you served in Afghanistan during a certain time period, or let's take 1990-1991, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, the Middle East, and you develop sinusitis today. As far as I know, with this PACT Act, and I've read it over, there's no presumptive window where you have to show some sort of symptomology or diagnosis within, for example, a 10-year window or a 1-year window. If you have a diagnosis, even 10, 20, 30 years after the fact, you're probably going to get compensated for it if you can demonstrate that you're exposed to burn pits. So, I mean, it gets complicated. I mean, I'm just listening to myself talk about it, and it does get complicated. And so for someone that's hearing this for the first time, the only thing I would say is that the Internet can be a wonderful thing. If you were to Google, search engine, Google, Yahoo, Firefox, or whatever your favorite search engine is, just type in PACT, P-A-C-T, space ACT, A-C-T. It'll take you to the website, and you know, I've got it bookmarked on both my search engines, and it'll tell you every single detail of what qualifies and what doesn't qualify. And at the end of the day, any applicant out there, you're certainly free to file for it on your own, but you probably want to get in contact with an advocate, you know, the national service officers like the DAV, American Legion, VFW are the big three. Your county veteran service officers, they're going to be able to take that initial claim for you. So I would say don't do it on your own. Contact a professional. have them look at it, because really they're the professionals. They're the ones that are in the know and should know what qualifies under the PACT Act and what doesn't.
John, do they mention any particular agents or chemicals that they're associating with this PACT Act?
You know, the big three, it is somewhat detailed, but the big three are burn pits, obviously, Agent Orange during the Vietnam time period, and radiation exposure during the Vietnam time period. That seems to be what they're concentrating on with this PACT Act.
That's
those three toxic exposures. Yeah, those three toxic exposures. But I was just looking at one other thing with Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange. We talked about high blood pressure, hypertension. There's also another disease. I've actually never heard of it, but and I'm looking at it right now. Monoclonal gammopathy of undetermined significance, otherwise known as MGUS. Sounds pretty nasty. But if that's something that any veteran that was exposed to Agent Orange has, that is another presumptive condition. So just to kind of throw that out there too. You know, guys, with the burn pits, that's probably going to be the biggest, most popular one. And it looks like there's 23 presumptive disabilities associated with that. The majority of your respiratory issues, reactive airway disease, asthma, sinusitis, rhinitis, bronchitis, those types of things are all presumptive. You could be compensated for it. To get a complete list, you go to that PACT Act website. That'll give more detail about it. There's a lot of cancers added as well. So that's something that any veteran out there that has been exposed to burn pits, radiation exposure, Agent Orange, you'll make sure you look at that really closely, the PACT Act. Now, of course, with Agent Orange, it's really the only change on that is the two presumptive disabilities that we talked about, the hypertension, high blood pressure, the MGUS that we just talked about. But I think with the burn pit, it really gets expansive. And I think with the radiogenic, the radiation exposure, what we're primarily looking at is different other areas of the world that have been served in specific time periods that have been served. So yeah, a lot of veterans may not qualify for it as far as disability compensation, but I think a lot will too. So I think, like I said, if you wonder, or if you're listening out there now, and if you wonder, and I've thrown a lot out there, you know, check out that website, study it, look at it really closely. And if in doubt, like I said, contact your national service officer, like the DAV, or your county veteran service officer. If it gets to a situation where it has to be appealed, then certainly individuals such as myself or attorneys or agents, people who work appeals more diligently, they probably would be the best ones to contact on that.
That's a fact.
That is kind of a quick rundown. I rambled quite a bit, and so I'm looking for any listeners out there that want to call in and maybe get some more information or get some clarification or if you guys have any thoughts or input on it. But yeah, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. The other thing is healthcare. You know, that's a really big thing that the PACT Act covers. Now, at first indicated to the healthcare part of it, I thought to myself, well, the majority of veterans are likely getting healthcare at the VA Medical Center, or if they're not, they're probably going to qualify for healthcare anyway. And for those ones that don't qualify, there's a strong likelihood they may have decent health insurance to go outside the VA Medical Center. So there is going to be a populace that is going to benefit under the PACT Act for healthcare. But I guess my thought was that many veterans are already qualifying for the VA Medical Center anyway. You may have veterans out there that don't qualify. They're not service-connected disabled. Their income and assets are too high. They don't pass the means test. They don't have health insurance. So that might be an area where, you know, those type of veterans who want to use the VA Medical Center can now use them. So that's where the PACT Act does really benefit for health care for those veterans that historically have kind of fell through the, you know, basically didn't qualify for health care at the VA Medical Center under the traditional terms. But now that the PACT Act is out, they may qualify for it.
I'm reading this article here, John. It says the new burn pit legislation will also help compensate many veterans asbestos-related illnesses. So I guess they've got asbestos listed as a toxin. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Is that an article or is that something under the PACT Act or how does that play out?
I think they've got it looped in with the burn pits. I guess they've got it looped. I'd have to do some digging to see what the actual what the actual things on the carcinogens are. But it talks about the cancers and squamous cell carcinoma, larynx, trachea. That same thing as asbestos related.
Right.
Different types of lung cancers.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, you know, certainly as a rule of thumb, if you're supposed to burn pits, know the PACT Act like the back of your hand for disability compensation, because that very well may come into play.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure he did.
Most military posts had a burn pit, didn't they? I know they did where we was at.
Gerald, say again, please.
Yeah, they had burn pits where we were at. Are they included in the PACT Act? I mean, they should be. I mean, they burn chemicals.
Not that I can tell, Gerald. I hear what you're saying. Not that I can tell. From what I can tell, they're looking at Persian Gulf era, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, OIF, OEF, and the Vietnam era time period is what we're looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the first thing they did was dig the latrine, and the second thing they did was dig the burn pit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, they did that in Vietnam there. So this does cover some of the Vietnam there. I don't know if it's just Vietnam or, different areas.
Mm-hmm. And from what I can tell, for Vietnam, they're just, you know, concentrating on that radiation exposure. And I'll look at it closer too, but I've studied it fairly closely. But in fact, I'm looking at the website right now. No doubt about it. I mean, there were burn pits in Vietnam. I mean, you saw them on the History Channel. Certainly, I wasn't there, but you see it on the History Channel, and you see it all. You know, but they had burn pits there, and so that would be something that the politicians need to look at. I think that some of them are already upset with the amount of money that's going to be required to enact this legislation, or at least, you know, develop the legislation and signed into law already. But you know, when we're talking about developing it further, you're talking about disability claims. You're talking about higher workload at VA medical centers, raters, adjudicators, claims developers. I was just conversing with one of the DROs, the decision review officers out of St. Petersburg, Florida, and we're both just kind of like, you know, it's a great thing, but, you know, if we're not ready for it, it's going to delay a lot of claims. The VA, they're supposed to, but, you know, you need to hire them, you need to get them trained, you need to get them on board, and you need to get them seasoned, and otherwise it's just, you're spinning your wheels. But it just boggles my mind. Anytime the VA gets a shiny new toy, you know, they puff their chest out and talk about what a great thing it is, and it is a great thing. But you know, you better be able to implement it too, because you've got typical claims that are taken on average. A brand new claim, it's better than it used to be, but a brand new claim, you're probably looking at 4 to 6 months for adjudication now. But the fully developed claim, maybe sooner. But now that you implement the PACT Act, which again, it's, you know, I'm not making it sound like it's a bad thing. It's definitely a good thing. But you implement something like the PACT Act, and if you're not ready for it, you can probably double the time frame, not only for PACT Act claims, but non-PACT Act claims, appeals, not only at the local VA regional offices, but I mean, it trickles down all the way to the Board of Veterans Appeals. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Like I said, it's a good thing, obviously, but you think your claims are taking long now? Wait and see. You know, give it about 6, 7, 8 months out. It's gonna, in my opinion, and I think it's an educated opinion, the time delay for claims, appeals, it's gonna be a lot longer than it used to be.
Yeah, probably 5 or 6 years.
Well, there's millions involved, I think. Mm-hmm. And there are millions of veterans involved.
Well, no. How many served in the Gulf?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question, because a lot of these guys have served in the Gulf, actually served multiple tours. So instead of sending new people over, the same guys kept going over and over and over, back and forth.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah. So pick your poison.
So. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I hearken back to, and I've had this on the show before, the Appeals Management Act, the AMA. That was the shiny new toy of about 2-3 years ago. But sure as I predicted, what was taken like a few months to adjudicate an appeal or a reconsideration under the AMA, it's about 7, 8, 9, 10 months out now, and it's getting worse. The Board of Veterans Appeals, they're still sending out those letters that states, we've docketed your appeal, and on average, and I've said this before, you know what I'm going to say, but they're saying on average 365 days. They're still sending those letters out. For at least 2 years now, it hasn't even been close to 365 days. When a veteran calls me and says, I got this letter that says 365 days, I said, add a year to that. It's about 2 years now from the docket date. So you can send in an appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals today. It might not dock it for 30, 60, or 90 days. That's what happened to your case, John. It didn't dock it until December.
Yeah.
And so that, and we're looking at 2 years out from there. That's the crummy part about it.
Do you think COVID had a lot to do with that?
That's the excuse they're using, but I'm getting tired of that.
I know what you mean. So you
can only, you know, that well's run dry to me. I'm not minimizing COVID and all that, but I am continuing to hear that, oh, the COVID and you know, the employees working remotely, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, I get that, but was it March of 2019 is when it hit? Well, we're 3.5 years later, and you know, but the worst is behind us. As far as I'm concerned, we should have adjusted for COVID a long time ago. I'm not buying that excuse anymore. Yeah, did it have an effect? Sure, but that trickle down, that should have been taken care of by now. And if it hasn't, don't keep sending those letters that saying 365 days.
Yeah.
If it's been 740 days, then say 740 days. Because like I said, I'm getting clients that are calling me, and they have every right to be pissed off. They're saying, well, I got this docket letter that says 365 days, and that was up a couple weeks ago. What's up? And then I got to be the one to tell them, well, we're looking at probably 2 years. And they're justifiably pissed off, not at me. But no, it just burns my britches, you know, that the board keeps sending out those letters that says 365 days. Folks, it's not even close to that. It's 2 years, and it's getting worse.
Every day.
Well, I hope it gets better. And I hope they stop using COVID as an excuse, because I think it's a convenient excuse. I don't think it's really a valid excuse anymore.
Well, a shiny new object. You know what that object is, don't you, John?
Well, the shiny toy was AMA back then. The shiny toy today is the PACT Act. There's been shiny toys along the ways, but they never prepare for them.
Most of it's a polished turd.
Polished turds. Yeah. And then you pull it off and you find out what's underneath, and I don't know. I get frustrated. I've been doing this 30 years. You can tell I'm a little bit surly about it, and I'm winding my career down, and I'm letting my hair down a little bit, and I'm no longer trying to play devil's advocate. I'm pointing the finger right at them. It is absolutely ridiculous, and it's been ridiculous for a long time. But you know, as an advocate, you try to play both sides. You try to play devil's advocate. You put their feet in their shoes and that kind of thing. But hell, dang, man, you just got to get to the point where you got to start pointing the fingers and calling these people out, because it's getting ridiculous with the time delay on these appeals and higher level reviews and the supplemental lane reviews. And God, I just had a guy die. He had a claim pending at the Board of Veterans Appeals. He went off the road on his Harley, and that thing had been pending, about 13 months, right? So, and he didn't have a dependent to pass his benefit onto, and it just made me sick to my stomach that this guy had a claim pending at the board. It was 13 months into it, and they're telling people a year, and he unexpectedly passes away. So as it stands, his appeal dies with him. There's no spouse to take over as a substitute. So those are bad stories, that's for sure.
That's tragic.
It is.
You know, look at the time you've got vested in, you've got your time, your effort, and it's just everybody loses.
Yeah, and I think that the priority is the veteran myself. I'm not too worried about myself, but that's part of it from a business end of it. But at the end of the day, there's going to be horror stories like that everywhere. But I think, as the radio show is, it's Exposed Veterans, and the topic today is the PACT Act, and I can't think of a better topic to talk about. Veterans exposed to carcinogens, toxins, burn pit, Asian orange, radiation. So study that PACT Act really closely, because there's a lot of detail in there. The devil's in the details as far as what you qualify for and what you don't, not only from health care, but from disability compensation.
No, just read some of the stuff over. I do, I'm a research fanatic on some of this stuff, and I was looking at some of the conditions, that, especially over in the Gulf, over in the Middle East, that these kids are coming up with, and we're talking like gallbladder issues. Gallbladders stop working is based on the food and water they ate over there and all kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm just reading, and I know we have a guy just got out of Air Force and came home, and he was over a year. And he's going through some gallbladder issues and stuff, so it's kind of weird. But they had, they even added UAE to the list, Dubai and places like that, So, more studying we do. Good, Joe.
Did they specify how far back they're going to go on these burn pit issues? Are they going to stop during the Vietnam era, or can they go back a little further?
Hey, guys, I'm sorry. My Bluetooth just went out on me. Can you say that question again?
Yeah. Do they indicate when they're going to stop recognizing the burn pit issue. Is it going to be during the Vietnam era or go back towards the Korean era?
Under the PACT Act, Gerald?
Yes.
Yeah. From what I can tell, they're concentrating on the burn pit toxic exposure for the Gulf, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, OIF, Operation Iraqi Freedom, OIF, Operation Enduring Freedom. And so there's other areas of the world that they've also designated as burn pit exposure spots. I know Somalia was one. There's other countries, other parts of the world, Egypt, those types of countries. But in answer to your question, as far as a time period, it does not appear it's circumventing or taken into account in any other time periods, including the Vietnam time period, Korean, that kind of thing. Now, for Agent Orange, obviously that's a different scenario. That's a
yes.
Vietnam time period. Radiogenic diseases during the Vietnam time period. So as far as the time periods, what they're really concentrating, it seems, is the Persian Gulf time periods, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, OIF, OEF, and the Vietnam time period. Does not talk about any time periods prior to that. But again, not to confuse matters, but Gerald, strictly for burn pits, from what I'm reading anyway, it does not include the Vietnam time period. When we're talking about the Vietnam time period, we're talking about Agent Orange exposure,
yes.
Radiation exposure.
That's mm-hmm. going to be something I have to be argued out because I know they had burn pits in Vietnam area. So.
Right. Yep.
This will be interesting how all this plays out. We had burn beds in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got the IG
yep.
report, the Corps Engineer reports on them. So,
Gerald?
Yeah.
Here's a list of the six registries that the VA has now in place. And the first one is the Airborne Hazards and Open Burn Pit Registry. Okay. They added a bunch of stuff to that one. You got the Gulf War Registry, which it had. They've got a DU follow-up when they used to play the depleted uranium. They've got Toxic Embedded Fragment Surveillance Center. And there's the old famous Agent Orange Registry.
Yeah.
And the Ionizing Radiation Registry. That's the six registries they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're available now. You have to request it. You have to call the environmental specialist or the environmental control person at your local VA hospital. They should be able to hook you up to get you on the registry. And I guess that you have to go sit in some kind of meeting with them and talk about what you're exposed to, and then, you know, they'll add you to it. I don't know what the health, you know, ramifications would be if they do exams or whatever, you know, but it's all done in black and white, and the VA is hopping on it.
Well,
number
we'll
of registries
that.
Out there.
Yeah. You know,
number
so,
of registries out there. But registries are, and you guys know this, but registries are one thing, and compensable presumptive disabilities are different than that. But it's the registries where these, well, the PACT Act was born out of registries. And I think a lot of these presumptive laws are born out of registries. So if you can get on a registry, whether it's ionizing radiation, you know, burn pits, Agent Orange,
mm-hmm.
A lot of different registries, you know, you're welcome to it because that's what comes born out of these types of things, the PACT Act and presumptive disabilities and things that are added, things that are still on the table to be added. The biggest thing, you know, might be that hypertension, high blood pressure. I mean, for Agent Orange. You know, granted, Agent Orange veterans, they're 70s and 80s now. They're no spring chickens, and you know, they're passing on. So it's not as big a deal today as it might have been 10, 15, 20 years ago when a lot of the veterans exposed to Agent Orange were alive that could take advantage of those benefits. But it's something. It is here today. And just because of the springboard and the offshoot diseases and disabilities that come about because of hypertension and high blood pressure, that opens up a whole lot of different things that aren't necessarily presumptive to Agent Orange.
Believe me, John, it does.
Yep. And the widows, too. The widows and widowers. Yeah,
that's true. But that's a good question because somebody you know, folks, if somebody you know served in his time periods and they had hypertension and they died of something that related and they weren't service-connected for it, you need to start doing some digging and you might have to get some help. But somebody could be getting dependent indemnity compensation for, you know, and health insurance through Champ VA.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A big thing, too. That's huge.
Be able to get DIC or...
And if you got kids in college, it's the same thing. You know, you might want to get, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yep. So there's you get the DIC, you get the Dependents Educational Assistance, and heck, if that widow or widower wanted to go to school, there's no age limit to go to school. They can go to school. If they happen to have kids that qualify under a certain age, they could qualify for that. Each state has their own level of VA benefits. Each state has a state level of Department of Veterans Affairs benefits. And so whether it's Kentucky or Missouri or Minnesota, we all have our own Department of Veterans Affairs at a state level. And each state has their own cafeteria plan, for lack of a better term, of different benefits that you could be eligible for. So the point I'm making is that that widow who owns her home, who's paying property taxes annually, may have those property taxes waived, which is an example of what Minnesota has. And I suspect many states probably have that.
Well, I think Kentucky didn't waive at all. They got like a homestead exemption. I think it takes like 40-some thousand off the value. I don't know. What's Missouri do, Gerald?
They don't do nothing unless you've you don't get any benefits unless you've had a Purple Heart or you've been a prisoner of war.
Oh, okay. Well, they're sticklers, aren't they?
Restrictive. Minnesota, you're right. Like Kentucky, the widows. I want to say it's $150,000 off their appraised property value. Now the veterans, it's kind of tiered. It's $150,000 off their appraised property value if they're rated 100% not permanent total, down to 70% if I recall. Now, if you're 100% permanent total, then it's $300,000 off your appraised property value for Minnesota. Now, I don't suspect all the states are that way, but that's just an example.
Most of them are staggered. A lot of them are staggered.
Yep.
You know, percentage. But Texas and Florida, you know, if you're 100% permanent total, then I think Florida's up to $5 million they waive taxes. But that's not just on your house property. That's on your ad valorem taxes, like your vehicles and things like that. And Oklahoma's the best. They'll give you tax. They give you your taxes, and then they give you a card. You'll pay sales tax.
Yep. I catch wind of different states and as far as their plan of benefits, and Illinois is good, one of the best, Texas, California, those three for sure, and you've mentioned Oklahoma and Florida, so there's five there. The rest are so-so. Minnesota's so-so to me. Minnesota, in comparison to some other states, I don't think it's up to par, but they're better than a lot, too. So I think they're probably middle ground.
Yeah.
I might get some argument on that. I'm sure I'll probably get a few calls later on that, but I don't care. That's just the way it is.
One thing about Kentucky, though, Kentucky is a pretty good deal because it's 100% permanent total. And you have kids that are college age, then Kentucky will actually waive tuition up to 4-year degree, you know. But the problem is you can't go to a junior college and try to transfer over to a bigger school and take the associate, because once you get the associate degree, you're done. So you got to play, you got to use your noodle.
And do they still get the federal DEA on top of the waiver?
Yes.
Of tuition?
And what that does, we have a lot of kids do this. They'll use the tuition waiver and they'll get their bachelor's degree, and then they'll specialize. They'll go to law school or accounting school or whatever, and they'll use their DA benefits. They'll bankroll those and pay that later on, you know.
Yep.
Which
it
helps.
Plan.
Yeah. So, but that's a pretty good deal. You know, these state benefits are great, you know, and I think the VA's fixing to get super busy. I hope they hire a bunch of folks. It's going to take a curve to get them trained up and running. Probably, I want to say minimum 1.5-2 years.
I hope so.
I'm serious.
I don't get the impression. I think they set aside money, but I think everyone is waiting for the thing to pass. And I think you're going to see a whole bunch of eager beaver newbies that are going to be coming in, and they're going to be very sharp and smart, but they're going to be new. They're going to be raw, and they're going to make a lot of mistakes. And that's how it goes. You know, we all make mistakes when we get involved with this. But unfortunately, these mistakes, this inexperience is going to negatively affect the claims work, claims processing, the time frame, those types of things. What they should have done is probably started training these people earlier in anticipation that the PACT Act would pass. But we didn't even know it would pass. I mean, you know, look at how that shook out. You know, they it seemed like they had it nailed down. It was going to, you know, it passed the House and then it gets to the Senate. And I'm not usually one that bangs on the GOP, but there's, you know, a key contingent of GOP that didn't like some of the writers in it, and they shot it down, and, you know, that went back for more work, and lo and behold, we got it passed. So kind of water under the bridge now, but it got kind of shaky there for a while.
Well, I think they're worried about the cost and everything else, so, you know. And there's been a lot of cost out the door, out the window in the last couple of years, but, you know, it is what it is. One thing to say about the VA, though, in the situation. Yeah, the VA, in my opinion, has always been reactive in their structure. Everything they do is based on a reaction. They don't have any proactivities, and then they could probably be a little more proactive and find these things and try to get ahead of the curve. You know, they can go ahead and start looking. If they have to hire people, they can probably, you know, they know the bill, what's coming. They can probably do some studies on it and say, okay, we got to hire this many people, you know, and when the bill passes or something like that, you know. And, you know, they got to, you know, make it a little faster, but they've got too much time on their hands left to do that.
Well, that had been my thought, but then I tend to play devil's advocate, and I'm thinking, well, what's their budget like? I mean, is it something that they would say, we agree with you, but, you know, we've only got X amount of dollars to make it work? So now that the PACT Act has passed, then you see their budget go up. So probably what it comes back down to is the budgetary committees that maybe should have set aside some discretionary funding in case the PACT Act passes. That way that money is there. You can move it right away, or you can maybe even move it prior with the idea that it's probably going to pass or not going to pass. I don't know. I mean, I don't have all the answers. It's an interesting thing. But, yeah, there's going to be a learning curve, a bell curve, and I guess I'm just concerned. You know, I like the fact that it opens up a lot of benefits, but I guess I'm really concerned about my, veterans in general, but especially my current clientele that have been waiting as long as they have. And now it looks like it's. You know, I hope I'm wrong, but looks like it's gonna add a number of months to already existing disability claims and or appeals.
John, do you think that going ahead and pre-register for the burn pit registry or the other one?
Well, they're out there. They're already available, Gerald. You can do it online.
Yep, that's been there for a while, a number of years. And I've always advocated if you fall into a registry qualifications, it's a good thing to be on that registry because then they can notify you of different things that emanate from the registry. They can also notify you, you know, of newsletters, and then you're in the system, and yeah.
It's true. But it's better. They use it for a lot of research, too. The people in the registries, they're killing guinea pigs. That's how they come up with a lot of basis or information, baselines and stuff.
Which makes the point, again, like I talked about earlier, these registries, it's not happening overnight, but these presumptive laws, PACT Act, these other shiny new toys that come along the way, they originate out of these registries to a large degree, the studies, the type of things. These presumptive disabilities, especially Agent Orange, many of them probably wouldn't even be on that list if we didn't have the registries, if we didn't have medical science and the National Science Institute, NSI, that kind of thing, looking at these things. Have you guys thought? I thought about this. You know, hypertension, high blood pressure was a big hot topic. Are there any other? And I'm trying to rack my brain a little bit. Are there any other real hot topic disabilities that are on the back burner for Agent Orange that you guys have heard?
What about diabetes?
That's on there now, Gerald. Yep.
Diabetes
is on there now. I'm talking about new things.
Maybe new types of cancers.
Yeah, new types of cancers. I think some of the more prevalent cancers that might not be on the list, like kidney cancer, liver cancer, cancer of any part of your body, really.
I think I saw glioblastoma.
Okay. That brain cancer?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's a bad cancer.
Yeah, you can't tell me you don't get that Agent Orange in you that it only affects your lungs. You know? Come on.
Right.
It only affects the blood.
What about
Parkinson's?
Leukemia? Is that one? Parkinsonia.
Oh,
that's
on there.
That's another one.
Parkinson's is on there, and Parkinsonism is on there. Two different types of things. But,
yeah
Parkinson's disease is on there, and Parkinsonism is a type of disability that's on there. Yep, it's already on there.
Mm-hmm. Very similar type of condition. Both of them are shaken, you know.
Yep. Yeah, people can.
I mean, we'll keep it on the list. Yeah, we'll keep it on the list and see what they add. You know, can do. I mean, we can try to stay ahead of it because we'll have to post and expose it anyway. Because if they knew like this, the shiny new object has to go on the side.
I had a veteran, a Vietnam vet, who died. He was exposed to Agent Orange, and this is a case I just won. When he died, 10, 15 years ago, they had filed a claim for kidney cancer secondary to Agent Orange, and it got shot down. And them not knowing any better, I think they might have appealed it, but it didn't go anywhere. But the law is very specific. If you have a cancer in this case that's not presumptive to Agent Orange, the VA is still obligated to take it on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
So what we had here is a vet died of kidney cancer 10, 15 years later. Friend of a friend says, call John Dorley. We talked about it, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, we refile it, reopen the DIC claim that had been denied in the past, and we had some studies put in. We even got the veteran's doctor to write a letter for us, which was very instrumental. And so when you have evidence that helps support a non-presumptive cancer to Agent Orange, the VA is obligated to conduct a compensation evaluation. Obviously, there's no exam because the veteran's passed away, but they have to look at the VA claims file and all the new and material relevant evidence that's been submitted, and they're supposed to ask, is it at least as likely as not, based on the evidence of record, that this cancer was related to Agent Orange exposure? And sure as heck, the MD opined in favor. So it's a feel-good story. Granted, we'd love to have his husband, her husband back. I mean, everyone would want that. But you know, if we can put a few bucks in her pocket and get her health care, get her state benefits, maybe a property tax, I mean, that means the world to someone like a widow who's living check to check. So that worked out well. But the point I'm trying to make is not patting myself on the back and you know, saying that, you know, what a great thing that I did or anything like that. That's not the point. The point being is that that's an example of where a toxic type of, you know, carcinogen like Agent Orange, we may have a disability that doesn't meet the presumptive connection or nexus, the VA calls it, but we do have a cancer that the VA has to develop for an opinion. Now, a lot of times that opinion is not in our favor from the medical examiner, but then we fight fire with fire with, you know, people like Dr. Bash or Dr. Anais, big doctors that do nexus opinions, and a guy out of Oklahoma that I like to use, Dr. John Ellis at the Ellis Clinic. So those are where those experts can come into play.
Right. Can you imagine the number of veterans? You can look at the BVA claim decisions that were Vietnam vets that had hypertension and got denied and never awarded.
It boggles the mind. And the thing is,
we're talking thousands.
So many have passed. And are there any widows? Are there any widowers? And would they even know? We can only shout as loud as we can as advocates, but how many are out there eligible and don't even know it?
Sure the big companies start advertising and running commercials. They'll see them. You know what I'm talking about. They'll start running these commercials on TV.
Isn't that
terrible? You have anyone dying?
Oh my God! Even in, you know, every I you know, it's interesting to hear that Kentucky's getting all those commercials. It's like every other commercial. It's a good thing. You know, you're getting the word out, but, God dang, if I see one more Campbell June commercial.
I see that one Campbell June commercial that says, this will not affect your VA claim benefits. It's different. It's just, you know, bull crap. You get money from a lawsuit, what happens to your
son? Yeah. Yeah, some of the bigger law firms that do what I do, I see their commercials out there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of melodramatic and schmaltzy. It's kind of like, oh, come on, you know. I'm as patriotic as they come, but when they lure these veterans in with a veteran in a wheelchair dressed in his BDUs and he's 50-some years old and you got the flag waving in the background. I'm all for that. Don't get me wrong. I'm as patriotic as they come, but it just seems over the top trying to bring people in, and you got the music playing in the background. So that the commercials get a little bit, you know, it's like, come on.
Yeah, some of these groups pray these R2 vets around.
Oh my God! They don't even know what. Yeah, they do. They parade them around, and it. Does that sound bad to be kind of rolling my eyes about it? I don't know. It's just like.
No, that's logical, John. That's not. You know, that's logical. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little bit mischievous and deceiving on their part, but that's, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to name any names, but hey, listen, we got a minute left.
Yep.
We want to thank you for coming on. You've been a wealth of information. I'm sure we got some happy folks who I'm sure they're running out to their local claims place right now to start filing papers.
Guys, thanks for having me on, and let's do it again
soon.
All
right, we'll do this. We appreciate it. Thank you, John.
Thanks
a lot, John. Bye.
You're welcome, Gerald.
Well, bye-bye. All right. Gerald, thanks for co-hosting today. We do appreciate you, too. This show's been a darn good one. put this in the archives, and we'll play this one again by the weekend. We might do a rebroadcast because it needs to get out there.
I think it's very informational. Everyone needs to read up on this PACT Act now. Go look it up, folks.
Look it up. All right, we're going to shut her down. We'll shut her down for now.
You've been listening to the Exposed Red Podcast. All opinions expressed on the show are the opinions of the guest speakers and not necessarily the opinions of Exposed Vet, Haddit.com, or Blog Talk Radio. To leave a comment, send an email to exposedvet@gmail.com. Just put podcast in the subject matter. Tune in next week for another edition of the Exposed Vet Podcast. Thanks for listening.